Hey everyone, Mark and Estito here for the Mark and Estito podcast. Hope all is well. Today we're going to continue my history and music series. We're in 1967 and we're in the month of February. And we're going to talk about the Beatles' release of that year. It was the first release they put out in 1967. It was a 45. It was John Lennon's Strawberry Fields Forever on the A side, and the B side was Paul McCartney's Penny Lane. And both were successful hits. It was considered as a double A-sided single. And last week I touched base on that. So what that means is, like, usually the A-side single is the one that's getting promoted for the most part. If they think the B-side is as worthy as the A-side, they would announce it on the record sleeve. They would say the Beatles, Strawberry Fields Forever / Penny Lane, which both songs were important, both songs were hits. And, you know, the rest is history. So let's get started on that. I'm using one source in this episode. I'm using the book, The Beatles Anthology, which I read through last year. Well, not last year, whenever. During 1965 and 1966. Basically what it is a book of various interviews with the Beatles themselves. So each thing I'm going to read are quotes from the Beatles themselves, their road managers, producers, you know, whatever it may be. So that's what I'm going to do. What I did last time when I read through this book is announce each person's name, then read their quote from there. Now going through the book here, I kind of read through this in the past. I kind of forgot, like, how much information of these songs were, which is why I want to do a separate episode of these two songs together. It's very short, but I'm going to add some stuff to it that I read in the past as well. That way you get a taste of what we're talking about here and what's going on and all that stuff. So, please bear with me on that. We'll get through it. And if you like my podcast, please follow it. You can find my podcast on apps such as iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And I also have a YouTube channel, which I'm going to change the title to. I'm going to change the title of it. It's now called the Mark and Estito Podcast. When I do change it, you will get the. I will tell you. So yeah. And this announced too, this is only going to be on audio, it won't be on video, so don't look for it on YouTube, this podcast episode. So this is going to be a lot shorter than I expected, which is probably good in some ways, but let's get started. And one more thing too before I start, actually, I originally was going to do them separate, do like Strawberry Fields this week, and next week do Penny Lane, but I decided to do them together because it gives you a taste of each other's of how Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote songs, and Paul McCartney even admitted that, you know, he likes to write more simpler, cleaner recordings, kind of like Beach Boy kind of stuff. That's Paul McCartney for you, even though it was surreal, but it was more of a simpler kind of way than what John Lennon did. John Lennon was more surreal, more outrageous, if you will. So, and believe me, if you listen to these songs back to back after I go through this podcast, you'll know what it is, what I'm talking about. So, you know, it's a definite for sure thing. Okay, now let's get started officially. And again, I'm reading from the source I'm using in this episode is the Beatles Anthology book, published in 2000. Again, it's all it is quotes from the Beatles themselves. So let's get started. Paul McCartney: I don't think we were very worried about our musical ability. The world was a problem, but we weren't. That was the best thing about the Beatles. I don't think any of us worried musically. I think we were itching to get going. Now we were off the road and in a studio with new songs. Strawberry Fields is the song that John had about an old Salvation Army home for kids he used to live next door to in Liverpool. We related it to youth, grown summers and fields of strawberry. I know what he was talking about. The nice thing is that a lot of our songs were starting to get a little bit more surreal. I remember John having a book at home called Bizarre, about all sorts of weird things. We were opening up artistically and taking the blinkers off. We used a Mellotron on Strawberry Fields Forever. I don't think it would be get past the musical unions, so we didn't advertise it. We just had it on the sessions. It had what would now be called samples of flute, which are actually tapes that are played and then rewind. We had 11 seconds on each tape, which could be played on each key. Producer George Martin. When John sings Strawberry Fields for the first time, just with an acoustic guitar accompaniment, it was magic. It was absolutely lovely. I love John's voice anyway, and it was a great privilege listening to it. Paul McCartney. We did a few versions of it. John wasn't totally happy with the first couple of takes that we did, so we remade the whole track. And in the end, John and George Martin stitched two different versions together. We can hardly hear the join, but it's one of those edits where the pace changes slightly. It goes a bit more manic for the second half of the song. Then he goes into Penny Lane here, but I'm going to stop there for a minute. That's pretty much about it about Strawberry Fields Forever. So Mellotron is like a keyboard instrument. It was popular in Britain. It came out in 1963, which is kind of shocking because when you hear the instrument, it fitted really well during the psychedelic period. Pink Floyd used it. Of course, the Beatles used it. As I mentioned, it sounded like flutes in Strawberry Fields Forever. And the Moody Blues. In fact, the Moody Blues keyboardist, Mike Pinder, was one that kind of was the one that wanted to put it out there on him. You know, as an advertisement or whatever. I think I read somewhere he used to work in a shop that sold them. And he had one of the first ones that came out. And they used it a lot in their records. You know, bands like Genesis used it in their early records. King Crimson, you know, all these progressive rock British bands. So what it is, how to describe it? Pretty much he said it, it was like samples of sounds on tape, and you would hit a key and then the tape would play, whatever. It was kind of interesting. And I wanted to pull the definition up for you, but I didn't do that, and that was my bad on that. But that's all I have on Strawberry Fields Forever. So basically, I was reading a source in the past about Strawberry Fields Forever. So they recorded it originally with, of course, guitar, drums, and all that stuff, and okay, it was good, but John didn't like it. John's like, you know, I want something else with this. You know, it's not working for me. So what George Martin did was add an orchestral arrangement to it. And so what they did is kind of like they did with Eleanor Rigby. It was a string quartet. They used an orchestration with, of course, cellos, violins, horns, you know. And they recorded a version with that. And John liked it and says, you know what, I'm still not satisfied. So what they did is they used both the guitar drum part and the orchestration part, put it together, and mixed it together as one. And that's how Strawberry Fields Forever came out. That was a John Lennon composition, by the way, again. So let's continue with Penny Lane here now. This is Paul McCartney's composition. Back to Paul McCartney's quote here. Penny Lane was a little more surreal too, although in a cleaner way. I remember saying to George Martin, I want a very clean recording. I was into clean sounds, maybe a Beach Boy influence at the point. The fireman with his hourglass and all that imagery was us trying to get into a bit of art. The lyrics were all based on real things. There was a barber called something like Bialetti. I think he's actually still there in Penny Lane. This is in 2000. Who, like all barbers, had pictures of the haircuts you could choose. But instead of saying the barber with pictures of haircuts in his windows, it was changed around to every head he's had a pleasure to have known. A barber showing photographs like an exhibition. It was twisting it into a slightly more artsy angle, more like a play, like a nurse who's selling poppies from a tray, which some Americans thought was selling puppies from a tray for Remembrance Day. Then she feels as if she's in a play, which she is anyway. These were all the trippy little ideas that we were trying to get in. They're both songs about Liverpool as well. It was always a good thing for us because we were a group that had been together for a long time that we could do that. Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, wow. A lot of our formative years we spent walking around those places. Penny Lane was the depot. I had to change buses at the get from my house to John's to a lot of my friends. It was a big bus terminal, which we all knew very well. I sang in the choir at St. Barnabas Church opposite. Those two songs were the lead singles. They were the first things we tried in the batch of new recordings. Paul McCartney again. It's part fact, part nostalgia for a great place. Blue suburban skies as we remember it. And it's still there. And we put it in a joke or two. For a fish and finger pie. The woman would never dare to say that except to themselves. Most people wouldn't hear it. But finger pie is just a nice little joke for the Liverpool lads who like a bit of smut. That's all I have. I swore I thought there was more to this than that. I swore. But yeah, that was Starbucks Fields Forever and Penny Lane. The 45 released in February of 1967. Their first release that year. And it was different. It was different than what we heard before. Well, somewhat. I mean, when you hear like the Revolver album the year before, you hear, of course, some similarities. But it was still different. It was still a change. What was to come. And the rest is history. You know? Anyway. That's all I have in this episode, unfortunately. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mark Anacito Podcast. Next week, I'm going to go into March of 1967. March. So, marching on down the month, the year. As we say. Okay, as they say, excuse me. So, anyway, I'm Mark Anacito again. Thank you for tuning in. And again, if you like my podcast, please follow it on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And my YouTube channel, which is now called the Mark Anacito Podcast, but I'm going to change it, and I'll give you the announcement when I do change it. So, there you go. So, again, tune in for next week for March of 1967. Thank you. Stay safe. God bless. Goodbye.